Brenda has a 2-minute inspirational talk for us.
Yeah. So I need my verse up. Raise up a child in the way he will go, and he, when he is old, he will not turn from it. Last week, I just want to share a little teeny story, and then I'm going to pray for us. Jeremiah preached. He did such a good job. He has such a tender heart. He kept, you know, weeping. There you go. Thank you. I saw his parents in the back, Alan and Becky Pickerel, and I said, golly, Jeremiah did such a good job, and he's so tender-hearted. And Alan, his dad, said, you know, when Jeremiah was little, one of our student, the parent conferences, the teacher said, I so appreciate Jeremiah because he's the only child in my class that will play with this one boy that was in a wheelchair. He will spend time with him, push him around, and do stuff with him. And I just said, oh, that's so awesome, Alan, that a boy, you know, when you're little, we're self-centered. We want our recess. We want to go be the best at tetherball, or we want to be the best, you know, kickball or whatever goofy things we do, monkey bars. But Jeremiah took his time to play with this boy that nobody else did. And I just feel like, you know, he was raised in Christ. Pastor Lee's grandson, Alan and Becky, must have done a good job that their boy was so sensitive to someone who needed to be treated like everybody else. So I want to pray for us. Father, we want to be like that. We want to help others when we can. We want to be kind to those who maybe are being ignored. And we want to raise up our children to be kind. So I pray over the young people with their kids to raise them in Jesus, to raise them to know the Lord and to know his mercy and his kindness. And I just bless us that we can all be more like that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Tina has some announcements to highlight. Great story, Brenda. Thank you for that. Honoring.
Okay, as always, we welcome the visitors that are here today. And if you're a visitor or if you still feel new, if you could come back to the table out in the lobby after service, and we have a gift for you there. On October 22nd, there's a business workshop with Mary Vaughn, Dennis Sanders, and Stephen Svinth. Yeah, so if you are in business or have a vision to start a business or hope to, you're welcome to sign up for that, and there's a sign up at the welcome table in the lobby as well. After service today, there's a class called Next. David and Susie are teaching, and they're on the second week of that, and it's for, I think, new believers, but it also says emerging leaders, so I guess that covers everyone. So if you're interested in going, please meet them in the prayer room, right? And then finally, the Enjoying God Fall Fellowship Groups list is at the welcome table in the lobby as well. So it should be a party out there at the welcome table after service.
Thank you, Tina. If you RSVP'd for the evangelism workshop last couple weeks, don't forget to come to it because we're ready for you after service today as well. Excited about that. Good to see you all today. I've been fishing some, as I mentioned, trout fishing, kind of revisiting a childhood hobby I had. Discovered that, once you're an amazing trout fisherman, you just never lose it. So, but I've also been bringing my .44 Magnum Ruger pistol. I don't know, something about pastors in Sunday afternoon. It's just really fun to shoot that gun. Out in the woods. Makes you want to cut out early and go down. So I took a picture of it, holding a fishing pole in one hand and my six shooter in the other. David and I have owned that together, I should say. But Yeah, I put it on our family Facebook page with my extended family, and I didn't put it on my personal one because I didn't want to freak anyone out. Bishop Paul and Pistol. So my sister, Lynette, a nurse in Vancouver, Washington, she says, so what do? You're doing so well fishing. Are you using the gun or the fishing pole? Oh, how insulting. But it did remind me of a story I wanted to share with you. No one in the town could catch any fish except this one guy. The game warden heard about it, became very suspicious, and he went to the guy's house and knocked on the door and said to the guy, sir, all these fish you're catching, we need to have a talk. The man, being a man of few words, just grunted, said, tomorrow, 6 a.m., boat ramp. And he slammed the door in the guy's face. So the next morning, the game warden showed up, 6 o'clock, climbed into the man's boat, noticed that there were no fishing poles in the boat. And so the game warden says, sir, there's no fishing poles in this boat, and yet you're catching all these fish. We need to talk. The man didn't say a word, just grunted, started the boat motor, and off they went in the middle of the lake, where the man promptly turned off the boat motor, pulled out a stick of dynamite, lit it, and threw it into the water. I haven't tried that. After the explosion, fish started floating to the top of the water. The man then took out a net, picked up the fish. The game warden, sputtering, a little bit upset, shouted, hey man, you can't do that. That's totally illegal. We have to talk. So the man pauses for a long moment, then gives a little grunt, man a few words, takes out another stick of dynamite, lights it, holds it for a moment, then hands it to the game warden. He says, you want to talk or you want to fish? Oh, wow. Just a little creative fishing going on there. Well, today concludes our Great Expectations series. This is part 12 in a 12-part series. Hooray for the prophet Isaiah talking about Jesus over 750 years before Jesus and the anointed Holy Spirit Jesus people movement that sprung out of that life of Jesus, his death and resurrection. Isaiah prophesied all about it. We've been talking about that. Great expectations from the prophet Isaiah, and today I want to talk to you on the subject, the joy bucket. Last time I talked, we were referring to the breakthrough blessing of comfort. And I mentioned that in real life, in real time, in your personal journey, your Christian growth is not typically just real smooth, but it's really kind of turbulent. It's more... You know, it's not just an even growth, typically. But there are breakthrough times. I wonder what yours, if you could highlight what some of your breakthrough blessings have been. Lynn mentioned tithing was a breakthrough blessing for her. And we mentioned last time forgiveness is often a breakthrough blessing. Jonathan told me I could share about him, how we prayed for out loud a declaration of forgiveness over his close relatives of him, and how he started experiencing God that week. And you know what he told me on the way into fellowship today? He said at the place where he lives, he started asking the guys if they could pray together, and these are guys that aren't even believers, some of them. But believers and unbelievers are joined together and praying to Jesus. I'd say that's a breakthrough blessing, you know, from flowing from forgiveness. All this cluster of breakthroughs happened for him because of the breakthrough of forgiveness. Have you discovered forgiveness as a breakthrough blessing in your life? Inner healing. We have some amazing inner healing ministers. If you have memories that are jamming you up, painful memories, you can get healed of those. Just call the church office. We'll connect you with one of our three or four inner healing specialists. Repentance can be a breakthrough blessing. God is highlighting a behavior that is self-destructive for you. You know, my pastor a long time ago, Pastor John Lancaster, the best way to break a bad habit is to drop it. I mean, just repent of it. So repentance. Have you discovered that in your growth in Christ, that if God highlights a certain thing in your life, you know, it can be a wonderful freedom that comes afterwards. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism in water, all these blessings that flow from those breakthroughs. Last time I talked, we talked about the breakthrough blessing of comfort. I mentioned that Christmas hymn, God rest you, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power, for we've gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. Tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort is an incredible breakthrough blessing. Personally, I see it in this passage because it doesn't say that Jesus gives in Isaiah chapter 12, by the way, is where we're at, Isaiah 12. It doesn't just say Jesus gives salvation. It says he is our salvation. It doesn't say that he gives strength. It says he is our strength. I love that. And in real life, it works to say Jesus, I feel such comfort released to my soul. I feel such anointed, heavenly, bliss-laced comfort released to my body and soul and spirit. When I turn to Jesus and I say, Jesus, like the prophet Isaiah did in this context, Jesus, you are my salvation. You are my strength. You are my song. That's what he says. You're my salvation. You are my strength. You're my song. Then he goes back to salvation. You've become my salvation. And you know, if a word works for you, just say it again like Isaiah did. You're my salvation. You're my strength. You're my song. You've become my salvation. Paul picks it up in his letters. He says, Jesus has become for us wisdom. He's become for us strength. He's become for us wisdom. He's become for us strength. And he's become for us sanctification. He's become for us righteousness. He doesn't just give wisdom. He doesn't just give righteousness. He doesn't just give sanctification. Jesus, you're my sanctification, righteousness, and wisdom. It's you. Yeah. It's you, King Jesus. You don't just give me the answer. You are my answer. I don't always have the solution, but I do always have the answer. As we're praying to Jesus for the solution, don't forget, he himself in his personhood is the answer. I am the way. I'm not just going to show you the way. The Islamic prayer is, oh Allah, show us the way. That's what they pray off 5 times a day. Show me the way. Well, Jesus says, I'm not going to show you, just show you the way. I actually am the way. I am the truth. Truth is no longer a philosophical proposition. It's a person, and his name is Jesus. I am the truth. I am the life. I'm not just going to show you the best way to have life. I myself am life. I myself am the bread of life. And comfort, when we do those declarations, just flow right into us. A young mom, I understand she had 12 children in the Great Reformation in the mid-1500s, walked up to Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, Martin Luther, Great Reformation leader. I'm not sure I'm chosen. I'm anxious because I don't know if I'm chosen. He looked her right in the eye and he paused and he smiled. And then Pastor Martin Luther said to her, "Ma'am, look to Jesus. He is your chosenness." Yeah. What do you need? What do you need? Comfort flows from heaven when you declare, "You are my salvation. You are my strength. You are my song. You are my wisdom. You are my righteousness. You are my sanctification. You are my chosenness. You're everything, Jesus. You're my everything. Sweet, sweet Jesus. Sweet, sweet Jesus. You are my everything." Somehow, he finds that declaration irresistible, and the comfort of heaven floods in from that universe into this one, into your spirit, soul, and body in the moment. It's a breakthrough blessing. It's a breakthrough blessing. We talked all about that last time. Today, I'd like to talk with you about the breakthrough blessing of joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Would you agree with me that Acts chapter 2 was a breakthrough blessing for the church gathered? Day of Pentecost. They were so touched by the Holy Spirit's joy, people thought they were drunk. In the Welsh Revival in 1904, by the way, the breakthrough blessing in Acts 2 of joy, result, would you agree it resulted in some other blessings? The Welsh Revival in 1904 resulted in over 200,000 people coming to the experience of being born of the Father. You know what it was marked by, primarily? It was marked by supernatural joy. We got a call a couple weeks ago from someone that drove past our sign. It says, "Enjoying God more and more." They said, "I have to correct a heresy. God, we don't enjoy God, we serve God." Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. Wow. I want to submit to you that enjoying God is a secret to serving Him. The joy of the Lord's our what?
Strength.
That's our strength. Anyway, Welsh Revival, over 200,000 people came to Christ in 2 years' time in Wales. Evan Roberts, who was one of the key players in that revival, said it this way, "God has made me glad. I'm showing others the great joy of serving Him, a joy so great and so wonderful that I shall never be able to express it in its completeness." Breakthrough blessing of joy resulted in revival. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 1, verse 8 and 9. By the way, we are going to get to the prophet Isaiah in just a moment. Verse 8, "Whom you have not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, you yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Now I want to suggest to you that the Apostle Peter is not referring just to the eternal salvation of your souls, but that somehow when you have the breakthrough blessing of joy, and I'm not talking about a one-time shot either. I mean, there are times of breakthrough blessings of joy. When you have a breakthrough blessing, a special breakthrough blessing of joy, the Greek word for salvation is sozo. It's wholeness, deliverance, healing, well-being. It has to do with toxic emotions and negative feelings flooded out of you. It has to do with supernatural joy and peace and love flooding into you. It is wholeness and health, body, soul, and spirit. And it just happens to last forever. That's what Jesus' blood bought us into. And Peter says it starts with this joy inexpressible and full of glory. Now, listen carefully. The gift of rationality, and it is a gift. Don't ever throw rationality out the window. Rationality is a gift from God. Reasoning is good. We often link joy and happiness to reasonable circumstances. I'm in favor of that. But it also just reminds us that the supreme circumstance of our life is Jesus. So we have a good reasonable reason to be joyful and happy and rejoicing. Because our supreme circumstance is Jesus. But I also want to point out that the joy that's inexpressible, reasoning joy is expressible. But there is a level of joy that's inexpressible. And it has to do with atmosphere. It has to do with a person who emanates a supernatural experience and atmosphere-changing dynamic of love and joy and peace out of heaven. It's what's going on in heaven, but it breaks in on earth in you and in me when we have a breakthrough and connect with it through the Holy Spirit. Paul's at pains to say the same thing that Peter's saying in our verse that, you don't have to turn around, I'll read it to you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In his presence is fullness of joy. There's something about the quality of his presence, the quality of his anointing, the quality of his spirit that imparts to our deepest calling to deep longing of our souls and our deepest heart a heaven joy that just is because it's supernatural from him. And it's not linked to anything circumstantial. I mean, when Peter says it's joy and inexpressible and full of glory, he's talking to some people that were circumstantially being persecuted. But the bigger reality to them was not their persecution. The bigger reality to them was the presence of Jesus and his spirit and the love of the Father who continually emanates what they're experiencing, the joy of the Lord. They're quite happy all the time. And they impart to us what they're experiencing. Jesus was noted in Hebrews chapter 1. He stood out as the happiest one in the crowd. He said he was, in Hebrews chapter 1, the word says Jesus had an anointing of joy above his brothers. He's a happy guy. It doesn't always come through in the Gospels, because the Gospels written in a very serious time. And it comes through some in the Gospels. It's very serious. But there are points. Well, if the fruit of the Spirit is joy, that means that it's joy is a supernatural experience that the Spirit is experiencing and gives to us. Jesus was marked with joy and he likes to share it. Shares it all around with great happiness. I watched a video. I went to the Toronto revival a few times. Toronto, Canada. And I like the joy there in the spirit. It's very beautiful. But I saw an interview on a video once of a husband and wife that were describing what their marriage was like before they were touched by the Toronto blessing, which is basically a full experience where God gives a spirit without limit, outpouring of the spirit that you and I can take in childlike faith anytime we want. You don't have to go to Toronto or anywhere else to get it. Yeah. Yeah, you got it last week. You know, you were up here. You got hit by joy. Would you say it was a breakthrough for you? Was your relationship with God, was there other blessings that came that last week as a result of that? Yeah. You're a little quieter today. You're a little quieter today. I think that reminds me that joy doesn't have to be dancing and jumping around waving our hands. It can be. But someone said that joy is peace dancing and peace is joy resting. Yeah, you were actually quite joyful today, but more quiet, which is just, it doesn't mean it was less joy. It just means it was a different manifestation of it. Some of the joyous people I know don't jump up and shout. Yeah. Will you guys mind waiting while I have a conversation with Robert about this? It's really interesting to me. Talk some more about that sometime. That's awesome, though. Yeah. Love you. Well, here's the verse I want to preach from today. Isaiah 12, verse 3 reads, "Therefore, with joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation." So joy is your bucket that gets all kinds of cool things out of the wells of salvation. So here's by the way, at the end of the service, if you aren't born from above, you know you're not born again yet, or you're not sure you are, I want to give you a chance at the end of the service today to ask Jesus in your heart and respond to Jesus knocking on the door of your heart. You don't have to wait till the end. You can just do it anytime during the service. Just quietly talk to him. You can even speak out loud. We wouldn't mind if you pray out loud, calling him to be saved. Or you can do it quietly, but just respond to him. But we are going to give a chance at the end for that. Because I'd like everyone here to have an opportunity to know what it means to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because you were wired for it. You were created for it. You were made for that experience in your life. But put that well video on and make sure the sound is off on it. What if I told you that if you have a breakthrough blessing of joy, that the Bible promises you'll have a new ability to praise, a new desire to declare the wonderful things God has done for you. You'll gossip the gospel so much you won't be able to keep still about it. What if there was a continual new song in your heart, a new optimism of God's work globally, a new fire in your shout? You found yourself shouting not just at the football screen, if you're still watching football, or a new confidence in your personal identity. What if I told you all those things are part of the, and that's just part of the resulting blessings that come from the breakthrough blessing of joy? Would you sign up? That's what Isaiah promises. Did we show that video? Joy's the bucket. You get all kinds of good things. Because here's what verse 4 says. We read verse 3. "Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, praise the Lord. You'll call in his name. You'll pray like you never prayed before. You'll declare his deeds among the peoples. You may mention of his name, that his name is exalted. You'll sing to the Lord. Be a new song in your heart, new dance in your step. You'll sing, for he has done excellent things. And this is known in all the earth. You'll have a new confidence that the kingdom of God's going to cover the whole earth as the water covers the sea. And the sad negative things globally, even though it's signs of the birth pangs of creation, saying Jesus is all just around the corner. He's coming back really, really soon. Yet at the same time, in the midst of all that, you'll have this confidence that, you know what, we're on the winning team. And the glory, we're not in a fortress mentality, retreating, saying, I'm just going to hang on until Jesus comes. We're part of a major movement that is expanding like leaven through a lump through the whole leaven of the whole world. Someone say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very good job. And Your prayer life will increase. You'll cry out. You'll shout. Oh, inhabitants of Zion. Zion is the mount in Jerusalem where the temple was, where they worshiped 24/7 during the times of David. One of the things you'll shout, you'll say, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. There's a together dynamic that's going to be released, that God wants to release more and more. Enjoy. But I like this where it says, oh, Israel. Because the name Israel means God will prevail. Do you have it so much in your blood that's in your identity that it just, you know the difference between an opinion and a conviction? You might have an opinion that God's going to prevail, but man, when you have a conviction, it just is in your bones. It's in your blood. God's going to prevail. I'm Israel. Israel means God's going to prevail. I'm part of the new Israel. Hallelujah. I could get happy preaching this sermon. I could get joyful preaching this sermon. So here's my first talking point. Isaiah is referring to in that day. In that day, that is in the Jesus day. The day the Spirit is, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, the outpouring of the Spirit until the day He comes back. That's in that day. In that day, breakthrough blessing of joy is a catalyst for even more. That's, I'm not going to say more about it because I already have. I got to move on. And the second talking point is the in that day breakthrough blessing of joy starts with our personal Jesus connection. It's not just celebrating circumstantially the wonders of the kingdom delectables and amazing kingdom realities that He gives us, although it's part of it, but the best level of joy, the best thing about, look at me. The best thing about the kingdom is the king. That's what I tried to say here. There's a story of a little boy. A true story of a little boy. Max Lucado shares it in one of his books. That gets on a plane and he says, man, I wish I could see the pilot as he's walking on the plane. Everybody else is doing what they do. Some are sleeping, some are talking, some are just sitting. But he, I wish I could say, and you know what? The pilot hears him and says, you want to see what's up front here? You want to talk to me? Someone call for me? I did. Like a second grader. Me. So come on up here. So he shows them all the instruments and talks about stuff. And the kid just comes out radiant, just happy. Some people just continuing, kind of, what they do in church. Some people come in as they go out as they leave. Some people are sleeping. Some people are talking when they shouldn't be. Checking their Facebook. I know. I accused you of it one time. Someone said, I was taking notes, honest. You know, but most people are like this little boy at New Song Church. They're not just along for the ride. They're not just coming into church and going out of church. Oh, that was a nice meeting. That was a nice service. That was a nice sermon. I got to see the pilot and it changed my life again. Oh, I got to see the one that's flying this thing. And he sat me up on his lap and we talked. And he told me all about what he's going to be doing in the flight. It was personal and it was joyful. Yeah. My third talking point is the in that day breakthrough blessing of joy is very discernible. And watch out, it's very, very, very contagious. The word here in Isaiah says, He's in your midst. The Holy One of Israel is in your midst. It's a collective addiction, this joy. One of my happiest memories of a breakthrough, the breakthrough bucket of joy in this person's life, was Vida Miller. She was in her 80s. This was 30 years ago up in Astoria where we were pastoring. It was a meeting we were at. We had a meeting. I think it was some kind of special meeting. All I remember about the meeting was Vida. Because she was a very sort of a dignified individual. Didn't really fit in a Holy Spirit type church. But her daughter came, so she did. And, you do fit if you're quiet. I'm not saying everybody has to wave flags in the prescribed manner. Or raise your hands or anything like that. But Vida, she probably would have preferred to have gone somewhere else. But on this day, this meeting, something happened. I can't say, I'd love to take credit for it. I don't even know how it happened. All of a sudden, I still see it. She's 85 years old maybe. She's at the altar. She's laughing. She's laughing. It was so uncharacteristic of her, it made me anxious. What? Is this really her? I had to take a double look. It's like, Vida? She was laughing and laughing and laughing at the altar. And you know what? Sometimes, some of the people were laughing because she was laughing. They thought it was funny the way she was laughing. And some people were laughing because there was something that was emanating out of her that was contagious in the anointing of the Spirit. And you know, pretty soon, I don't know if you remember that, Brenda, but everybody was touched by it in the meeting. Everybody was experiencing this anointing of joy above our brothers, like Jesus had, because of this experience Vida was having. Within 2 months, she'd passed away. So this is not a prophecy if you start laughing for you in the spirit. Not a prophecy. I just neutralize any fear that way in Jesus' name. But what I think God was doing was he was saying, you know what? I want you guys to know what Vida's going to have forever. And people mentioned it at her memorial service, how she laughed just a couple months ago. And how she's really laughing continually now because God gave her a taste of the glory and us a taste of the glory. Acts 8:8, regarding Samaria, there was great joy in that city. There's great joy in that city. That's all I want to talk about. I think I'll have the opportunity to receive Christ after the Word of Knowledge team. So if Sherry and team will come up, give the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, impressing with what God wants to do, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I am the Lord who heals you, body, soul, and spirit. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 9 gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians. Just as people are coming up here, those 9 gifts. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. And that's just a sample. This is word of knowledge. Let's celebrate word of knowledge.
Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to minister to your people. We do work in the word of knowledge, but also in healing and in miracles, encouragement today, and we just give you the praise and the glory.
I got a couple of things. First of all, the Lord showed me hands, and hands represent ministry and being the hands of Christ, and the Lord wants us all to have hands that are strong and able to do the work that God calls us to do. So he wants to heal anything related to hands, and it could be the wrist, it could be carpal tunnel, it could be arthritis or any kind of pain in the hands. The other thing is joy. If you want an infusion of joy, I would love to pray for that for you.
I saw the Lord highlighting the head right above the ear, and Jesus was being carried away, and his servant cut off the ear. You know, Peter cut off the ear of his servant. I don't mean that. I don't mean if you need your ear put back on, great. But just something here, right here on the left side, if it's a headache or your ear, Jesus wants to touch it like he did that night in the garden for that servant of Malchus, or Malchus, I think.
So I heard discouragement, and then right after that I heard perseverance. And God says, you believe in me, I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me, and do not grow weary in doing good. Okay. I heard discouragement, and then I heard perseverance. And he says, you believe in me, you believe what I say, and I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me, and do not grow weary in doing good. You believe him, stand on his word, and persevere, because perseverance produces character. So there's things going on that we can't see. So persevere through what you're standing for.
I'm hearing double blessing for anybody who comes to Linda here. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you that Savannah Kent is out ministering to the homeless. And she gave me a word. She's on our team. She said inspiration. She kind of looked at me kind of puzzled. And I said, inspiration? She said, right. So anybody with lung problems, we feel like you could come to me. Anybody that's having breathing problems.
You know, I didn't know I was going to be up here this morning until Sherry invited me up. And but when I was ironing this beautiful shirt this morning, I was praying, number one, that I didn't burn myself. Number two, Lord, what did you want me to do today? And he said, I want you to pray for somebody's finances today. I want breakthrough today. I want a miracle for finances today. And I said, okay, I don't know who that's going to be or where it's going to be or how it's going to happen, but I'll try it. So today, if you need a breakthrough, you need a miracle in your finances, come on up and I'll pray for you.
And I had a vision of a little child with a stick playing in the dirt and repeating, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And the Lord said that those words that as a child have been tattooed on your heart. And that wasn't true because they did hurt, and that they're still there. No matter you change jobs, change clothes, change hair, no matter you do, they keep cropping up, that word that's tattooed on your heart. And the Lord says today's the day he's going to re-tattoo you, and he's going to erase one and replace it with another. So if that resounds, let me know.
Okay, I got a picture of bread crumbs falling off the table and someone's heart getting so hungry for more of God that they weren't satisfied with the crumbs that are falling off the table, but they want a seat at the table. And they have one. So if you want to be released into that favor and freedom, I'd like to bless you in Jesus' name.
Mine's kind of funny. It says, you ever heard somebody say, I want to help you to help me to help you? And then it goes along with what Pastor Dan was saying in 1 Peter, the first chapter, our position is we belong to the Lord. And so when we look out and we see things, sometimes we think that we're just seeing things, but that's not really the truth about it. Our Lord's in us. So he sees things through us, and then we have to turn around and understand that he's there, so we're seeing things the way that he is looking at them. So even when we see all this stuff going on in the world, we're okay. We're His. So we don't have things to be concerned about. We're His.
Man, thank you. Thank you for all these words. And if anyone wants prayer for, would like prayer, body, soul, or spirit for anything else, I hope that you'll come up in just a moment. But we want to give a chance for people to respond to Christ first, to be saved, to be born again, born from above. And just reminded that verse for today, therefore with joy, so you draw waters out of wells of salvation. It was part of for 800 years between Isaiah and the time of Christ. And I believe that they even still do it now in some part of the Feast of Booths, which is going on this week in the Jewish culture. This week is Feast of Booths, the Feast of Ingathering, Feast of Booths. And what they did for 800 years after Prophet Isaiah, every year, the priest would come down from the temple to the Pool of Siloam with golden pitchers, take water out, and they would march back up to the temple, pour it on the altar, and everybody would chant. The thousands and thousands of people would chant together, therefore with joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Now here's the cool thing about this. It's where Jesus was at in John 7, Jesus was at that feast. And on the seventh day, the great day of the feast, it was, scholars tell us, right after everybody said that, therefore with joy shall you draw waters out of wells of salvation. And did it help to pour water on the sacrifice? The waters on the sacrifice. No, that religious activity left them empty. They were still empty, even though they declared it every year as a religious ritual. They were still empty. They're still thirsty. And Jesus gets up and with a loud voice says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Yes, religion results in emptiness, but with joy you'll draw waters out of the wells of salvation, and the wells Jesus, and the waters living, and He's a person, and He can be yours today. Close your eyes, look into my right. If you're not sure you're saved and you want to be, look up and catch my eye. That's all you need to do. You're saying, I'm responding to Jesus. Are you doing that, sir? Not doing that? Okay. I'll misunderstand if you had your eyes open for any other reason. Just look up and catch my eye. Middle section, just look up and catch my eye if you're saying, I am responding to Jesus today. I want to drink from the wells of salvation today. Not seeing anybody there. How about my left middle section here? Look up, catch my eye. You're responding to Jesus today. You want to be saved. Are you doing that? Okay, one person, one young man. Anybody else today? See one recommitment back there. Look into my far left. Anyone responding to Jesus want to be saved today? Okay. Let's pray this together and make it easier for the young man that's receiving Jesus today. Say it with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I call upon you to save me. I believe you rose from the dead. I confess you as my Lord. I invite you to be my Savior right now. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. And young man, will you please stand up? We want to clap and cheer for what God's doing in your life today. We're really happy for you. God bless you. God bless you. Okay, folks, let's stand up. Let's everybody stand up. Visitors, again, glad to have you with us. Don't forget we have a present for you at the welcome table. Everybody, have a super, super week filled with supernatural joy. God bless you as you go.